right. Can you believe that 3/4 of the year is almost gone? I am just blown away at how quickly this year has gone. For some, it can't end soon enough. But for others, the speed of life and the pace at which we move nowadays is just so rapid. Everything around us just is constantly moving so quickly. But I am truly thankful for you. I'm thankful for the team that we have here, and I'm thankful for what God is doing in this place. You know, despite how fast life moves and how quickly things seem to rush by, we still know that God is on the throne, that He's in control, that He has not lost a battle, that even though we may be going through a time and a season of testing and trial, we know in whom we have believed, and we know that He has a path already mapped out for our feet, and we know that soon and very soon, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. How many of you agree with that? How many of you believe that? Come on, give the Lord a praise. God is good. God is good. For those of you who are joining us online, thank you so much for being here today. We wish that you could be in the house with us today, but we're thankful that you are connecting this way. We just want you to know that we love you, and we are so thankful for you. Well, we have a special message this morning. We are having a special time at the end of the service, where we are going to be praying over the teachers and praying over the students, believing God that His protection will be over everyone. But before we do that, I want us to open the Word of God this morning and let Him speak to our hearts. So the title of this message today is No Fear. Can you say no fear? No fear. How many of you know that God, with God there is no fear, nothing to fear? Amen? Amen? Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank You that You are sovereign. We thank You that You have given us a place, a position, where we can stand in the midst of every storm and we don't have to be afraid. Even though that's a reality, Lord, we know that the reality of our circumstances sometimes causes us to fear. So I ask that You would speak to our hearts this morning through Your Word and help us to understand Your truth and help us to embrace it. Give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what You are speaking. We ask in the precious name of Your Son, Jesus. And everyone say, amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 3. Genesis, chapter 3. We're going to be reading out of the NLT this morning. At least this passage. You know me, I always have multiple versions, multiple passages. But beginning here in the NLT, Genesis, chapter 3, verse 8 through 10, and it says this: when the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He replied, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." I want us to take a moment here and think about creation. I want you to picture yourself sitting and you're in a theater, and before you is playing creation as it is happening in real time. You see nothingness, and out of nothingness, all of a sudden, you hear a voice, and the voice says, "Let there be light." And in an instant, light appears out of nowhere. And then you see that there is a separation of darkness from light. You see the first day go by. And then you see the next piece where there is water being separated. The water on the earth from the waters of the skies. The skies and the firmament are created. And you move on to where you have the dry land that begins to appear. And then you have the sun and the moon and the stars created. And then you have the birds of the air and the fish of the sea that are created before you, everything with the spoken word of God. And we move on, and the sixth day you see the beasts of the field created, and then we get everything in place just right. And then you see God begin to form man out of the dust of the ground. And then it says he bends down and he breathes into his nostrils, and man becomes a living soul. A living soul. As if that was not enough, it says God planted a garden. He planted a garden, and he caused four rivers to run through it. And every tree and every herb that was good for food was planted in this garden. All of the beautiful flowers, think about the fragrances that you enjoy so much. If you've ever been to a wildflower farm, here in Texas, we love our wildflowers. And we can go and we can travel to different places and see them. It's not a long trip. Some of us will travel up into the hill country and drive down the Texas roads, and you see crazy people getting out of their cars and sitting in the middle of flowers and taking pictures. And, you know, there was some kind of a post about a big old rattlesnake that was, you know, and I just don't do it. I'm sorry. I don't do it, but we love our wildflowers. We love our wildflowers. God created all of the beauty of creation, and he had it all there for Adam and Eve. And here in the midst of this moment, he places them in this garden as a place of paradise for them to live, for them to enjoy life, everything that they could imagine. He created all of the constellations in such a way and placed us in such a unique place within the Milky Way that we can actually see, we have the best view to be able to see all of the stars and all of the constellations and all of the things that are around us. We have an optimal view. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows forth his handiwork. It says day and night they worship the king. They praise the king. Here was this perfect man in a perfect place, given a perfect mate. Think about that for a minute. We talk about how God handpicked you for me, right? That's a line that we say. And some of us believe it. I believe that. I believe that my wife, God handpicked her for me. But this is literally the time that we can point to Scripture where we can say God actually handpicked Adam's bride. He had the perfect life. It says that God would come down in the cool of the day and walk with Adam and talk with him. And they would talk about whatever. We don't know what they talked about, but they had communion. They had fellowship together. They spent relationship together like no one else on this earth has ever experienced. Adam knew God in a way that no other human being has known him. He walked with him. He talked with him. He was with God from the moment of creation. I want you to think about this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45 through 46, we're not going to turn there, but you can write that down in your notes. The Apostle Paul refers to Adam as the first Adam and to Jesus as the last Adam. That is to say that there were only two in the history of humanity that came directly from God. Adam was formed from the dust of the ground. God breathed into his nostrils, and he became a living soul. Jesus was the Word made flesh who dwelt among us, and those who were there beheld his glory as the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Adam was the only one beside Jesus who knew the fullness of the nature and character of God. The fullness of Adam's being was consumed with the purest essence of God. Imagine that. No fear, no doubt, no worry, no limitations. He had full access to the presence of the Father. He was perfect. He was pure. There was no sin in his life. There was no knowledge of evil. And therefore, everything about him was consumed by the Almighty. I can't even begin to fathom or understand the depth of knowledge that he had, the fullness of the access that he had. But he knew God like no one else could have known God. He knew him in his fullness. He knew him before sin entered into the world. He knew him before there was a separation. He knew him before we had entered into a being that is carnal, that is corruptible, and that will pass away. Adam had full access to God. Now, after having experienced all of God's glorious splendor, after having walked with him and known only him, after having understood that he created you in his image, after having been placed in a beautiful garden unlike any other place on earth and given everything that your heart could desire, how do you go from that place to Genesis chapter 3:10, where he says, I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid because I was afraid? How do you go from knowing that God created everything just for you, that God breathed into your nostrils, that everything that exists around you is just for your pleasure and you're living in this paradise? And how is it that in that moment, all of a sudden fear would come in and you would hide from God? What causes a person to find a place of fear after having known the fullness of God? What an absolute tragedy. Why was he afraid? What was it about the knowledge of evil that caused him to be afraid? What is the knowledge of evil? Because the Bible says that they partook of the fruit of the knowledge of good and of evil, right? But they already knew God. So they already knew good. It was the knowledge of evil. It was the knowledge of the kingdom of darkness. It was becoming aware of everything that is not of God that brought fear into their life. I can't imagine what it was to go from only knowing God and only being a part of his kingdom to all of a sudden being introduced to the kingdom of darkness, becoming aware of things that were not of God. I want you to hear this. God told Adam, you only need to know me. You don't need to know anything else outside of who I am and what comes from me. Now, here's where we get things wrong. God told Adam, the day you know evil, it will kill you. The day you know evil, it will kill you. He didn't say, I am going to kill you. He said, it will kill you. Genesis 2:17, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. God wasn't saying, if you talk back to me one more time, I'm going to knock the snot out of you. He was saying, if you touch the stove, you're going to get burned. If you eat of the fruit, it will kill you. You see the difference? God was not there waiting for them to eat from the tree so he could punish them. It was a warning. That hurts. That inflicts pain. That causes death. Don't partake of it. Listen very carefully to what I'm about to tell you, because it will change your life. God is not the source of fear. God is not the source of fear. Nor does he use fear tactics to get us to act right. I want you to let that sink in for a minute. God is not the source of fear, and he does not use fear tactics to get us to act right. That's changing somebody's mind right now. That's blowing somebody's mind right now. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So if God is not the source of fear, then who is? Who is the source of fear? The first place that we see fear mentioned in the Bible is back in Genesis, as we read. It's the result of the knowledge of evil. Genesis 3:10, I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid because I was afraid. And John 1:4-18 that we just read tells us, if we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. It is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. I'm relying on the Holy Spirit to talk to you guys today, because there is so much here that I cannot unpack. But I know that God is speaking to each and every one right now, and those of you who are listening, I want you to listen to the Holy Spirit, because he's talking to you right now. The knowledge of evil is the source of fear. And evil is the antithesis of the character and nature of God. Now, there is a whole series just in that we don't have time to talk about. But I want us to look for a minute at some scripture, because there are things in scripture that are confusing. I'm going to say the statement one more time, and then we're going to dive in. The knowledge of evil is the source of fear, and evil is the antithesis of the character and nature of God. Now, y'all ready to get confused? Turn to Exodus chapter 20, verse 20. Exodus chapter 20, verse 20. And Moses said to the people, do not fear. Do not fear. For God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin. Does that sound like the biggest contradiction in Scripture? Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin. Two different words, two different meanings. The first one, do not fear. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. And the second part, that his fear may be before you. This is that you may see. It means that you may see that he is worthy of reverence. Say reverence. That his fear may be before you means that you may see, he's come to test you, that you may see that he is worthy of reverence. He is worthy of reverence. We should not fear God. We should reverence him. We should not be afraid that he will destroy us. We should honor him as our Father. We should not live in fear of condemnation and judgment. We should be in awe of his amazing love and give him the respect that he deserves. He's altogether lovely. He's altogether worthy. He's altogether wonderful to me. He's Abba. He's Father. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2 and verse 15 reads this, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. And verse 15 says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. I want you to think about the different people that we respect, the different people that you respect. Some we respect because we don't want the consequence, like if we see a police officer sitting on the side of the road, we're going to slow down. Right? Some of us will. Others will try to outrun them. I've known a couple of people like that. I've never done that. No, I didn't do that. No. I didn't have a car fast enough. Otherwise, might have. But other authorities, we respect because we love them. Like our parents, our grandparents. There are all kinds of authorities in our life. And there are reasons, different reasons, that we show reverence. But we reverence people either out of respect, because they're an elder, because of their age, because of their years of experience, or because of the position that they hold, the authority that they carry. And because we recognize their wisdom, or we understand that we are under that authority. God is to be reverenced, not feared. God is to be reverenced, not feared. Ezekiel chapter 1, 28 through 2:2 says, this is Ezekiel, he had a vision of the glory of God. And this is what happened. It says, this is what the glory of the Lord looked like to me. When I saw it, I fell face down on the ground, and I heard someone's voice speaking to me. Stand up, son of man, said the voice. I want to speak with you. The Spirit came into me as he spoke, and he set me on my feet, and I listened carefully to his words. Now let's look at a vision that Daniel had. Chapter 10, verse 8 through 12. It says, "So I was left there all alone to see this amazing vision. My strength left me. My face grew deathly pale, and I felt very weak. Then I heard the man speak, and when I heard the sound of his voice, I fainted. And I laid there with my face to the ground. Just then a hand touched me and lifted me. Still trembling to my hands and knees, the man said to me, 'Daniel, you are very precious to God. So listen carefully to what I have to say to you. Stand up, for I have been sent to you.' When he said this to me, I stood up, still trembling. Then he said, 'Don't be afraid, Daniel. Don't be afraid.'" Let's look at a scripture that talks about what Moses experienced when he was standing before Mount Sinai. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 21. It said, "Moses himself was so frightened at the sight that he said, 'I am terrified and trembling. I am terrified and trembling.'" And then finally, the one I want to look at is in the book of Revelation, the Apostle John, the vision that he had of Jesus. It says, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as if I were dead. But he laid his right hand on me and said, 'Don't be afraid. I am the first and the last.'" Listen, God is awesome. God is awesome. Every time you see in Scripture where an individual encountered the awesome presence of God, their physical being could not handle his glory. They lost all strength. Their body was trembling. They were terrified. They passed out. Only a supernatural touch of the Holy Spirit gave them enough strength to be able to stand in his presence. The nations of the earth have more reverence for God than many who call themselves his children. Even the demons fear and tremble at the mention of his name. But many churches today have lost the power of God because they have no reverence for God. Many of us struggle in our faith, wondering, where is God in the midst of all of the chaos around us? We become complacent because we do not view God as holy or righteous or just. We don't view him as sovereign. You may say that, but our actions are speaking something different. Our doubts are motivated by our fears because we don't respect him as Father. Our doubts are motivated by our fears because we do not respect God as Father. This is hard for a lot of people. It's really hard for a lot of people because a lot of people didn't have a good relationship with their dad. A lot of people did not have the kind of relationship with their father that was worthy of respect, that was worthy of love, that was worthy of reverence. Many people, their father abandoned them. Many people don't even know who their dad is. Many people had fathers that were abusive, that were hateful, that did horrific things. How tragic. Because we have grown up as a society that rejects authority, that rejects and has hatred towards those that we should have reverence for. Evil. The knowledge of evil causes us to not have trust in God. Are you with me this morning? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Because of the knowledge of evil, there is a lack of trust in our heart towards our Heavenly Father. Because we struggle with the things around us. How many people have you heard that would go through this process in their mind? How could a God that loves me allow this to happen to me? If God really cares, why is this happening in the world? And why does that happen in the world? You see where the source of doubt is the knowledge of evil. The knowledge of evil causes us to begin to reject God as our Father, as one who loves us, because we see evil in the world. And yet, God has nothing to do with that. He is not the source of evil. He is the source of love. He is the one who cares for us. He is the one who gave everything for us. But Adam lost sight of that. He lost sight of the fact that everything that was around him was for him. That God had done all of that because he loved him. And in an instant, because of this knowledge of evil, doubt, fear, anxiety, worry, a lack of trust. And yet God is sovereign and he's saying, I deserve to be reverenced. I deserve to be respected. I deserve to be honored as your father because I'm a good father and I love you. But we struggle with that because we don't understand his love. We struggle with that because we have not embraced the love of God. God loves you. I said, God loves you. He is for you. There is nothing that he wouldn't do. And there is nothing that he has not done to prove his love for you. You only have to look to the cross as proof that he loves you. Would Jesus have allowed himself to go through such brutal torment and suffering, taking our punishment upon himself and carrying our sin to the cross, where he, a perfect man, God in the flesh, poured out his life unto death to forgive us, and with every drop of blood that flowed from his veins and fell to the ground, it was screaming out, I love you! I love you! I love you! Would he have endured all of that only to turn around and pour out his wrath upon us? Do you truly believe that God does not have your best interest in mind? Or do you just not trust him? Do you just not trust? Are you afraid that he can't take care of you? Are you afraid of losing control? Here's the reality. We constantly get ourselves into all kinds of problems that we can't get ourselves out of. And then we're foolish enough to think that we know what we need. God, I need you to do this, and I need you to do this, and I need you to do this, and if you'll just take care of this, and if you'll take care of that, and if you'll do that, we're good. I got it all figured out. We aren't smart enough to keep ourselves out of trouble. But we think that we are smart enough and that we know exactly what we need to get ourselves out of trouble. We think that we have the answers to fix our problems, and we still haven't figured out how we got in the problem in the first place. You have to shake your head at the stupidity of our depravity. You really do. Have you ever said or thought something similar to this statement? I would rather be in charge of my life and screw it up than let someone else call the shots and ruin my life for me. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Jeremiah chapter 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. God has good plans for you. He has something in store for you that he wants to give you. He wants to give you a hope. He wants to give you a future. His plans for you are good, to keep you from disaster. But then we turn to Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. And he says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. There is no way for us to see the full picture. Our finite minds are incapable of grasping the infinite wisdom of the divine creator. It is impossible for us to see beyond this moment. And even in this moment, I cannot fathom the purpose and function of every intricate detail woven together at this precise point in the tapestry of eternity. I want you to think about that for a minute. There is so much that is happening right now in this very second that is all linked together. It's all tied together at this very second. And we have no way of understanding how all of these things are linked together or where all of these things connect. We don't understand how this moment changes everything. And yet it's a reality. It's a truth. This moment changes everything. Because from here, we move to the next moment, and that moment changes everything. If we could begin to understand how important each moment in life is, Every decision that we make, every choice that we make, every thought that we allow to stay in our minds and continue to turn into seed in our lives that produces a harvest, and we begin to eat of that fruit years down the road because of something that we allowed years before. We could not even begin to go back and pinpoint every single thing in our life. And yet God somehow says, I can divinely orchestrate and work things out. I am here to tell you that God's word says that he will take even the bad stuff in our life and he can turn it around for good. God will cause all things to work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. He takes it. He takes our lives and he molds it and he fashions it because his thoughts are greater. His thoughts are higher. But can we choose to trust him? Can we find it within ourselves to trust him? As I'm coming to a close, Psalm 139, verse 13 through 18. I love this verse, these scriptures. Psalm 139, 13 through 18. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I want you to dwell on this. Meditate on it. Let it enter into. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the womb. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. Will you just let go? Will you just trust him? No fear. No fear. God is for you. God is for you. He is Abba. He loves you. You are his precious child. He only wants good for you. Will you trust him? Will you trust him? Let me ask you something. What are you afraid of? Stop trying to be macho. It's not time to be super spiritual. It's time to be honest. What are you worried about? What has you worried? What has you perplexed? What has you frustrated? What has you angry? What has you upset? What occupies your thoughts? What do you find yourself arguing with people about? What is making you so mad that it has you isolating yourself from others? Maybe like Adam, the thing that scares you the most is your own weakness. Maybe you're afraid of yourself, so you're hiding. Listen. God knows your weakness. God knows everything about you. You know what he says? My strength is made perfect in your weakness. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Is there anything too hard for God? Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. Y'all still with me? We're almost at the end. Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can you give him praise for that? Come on. Can you give him praise? He alone is worthy. He alone is worthy. It is his love. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love. There is no fear in love because perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. Are you ready to embrace the love of the Father this morning? If you are, would you stand to your feet? If you're ready to embrace the love of the Father this morning, I want to tell you, don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. Let God's love calm your fears. You can trust him. He loves you. He loves you more. He loves you more than you can think or imagine. He is for you. He is for you. No fear. No fear. If you are here this morning and you have heard the message that has been spoken and you would say, I don't have a relationship with this God who calls himself Father. And I desperately need peace in my life. I want that love, that perfect love that casts out all fear. I want Jesus in my life. If you've never accepted Jesus in your heart, he's ready to come in and cast out every fear. He's ready to come in and cast out every worry and remove all debt. He's ready to come in and fill your heart with his love. He can restore you. He can change you. He can fill you with his peace. He can make things right. And he's ready to do so because he's a good father and he loves you. But you have to give him that option. You have to give him that opportunity. If you're here this morning, or if you're watching online, would you just, and you say, I want to accept Jesus. I want Jesus to come into my heart and my life. I want to surrender to him and let him take control. Would you just slip your hand up right now? Would you just let me know? If you're watching online, give us a thumbs up and let us know that you are making this decision right now. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. We're going to pray this together. Dear Jesus, I recognize I'm a sinner. I recognize that I've been far from you. But I know that your love is greater. It's greater than my fears. It's greater than my worry. It's greater than my doubts. And so I surrender all of that to you. I accept your sacrifice of love. I ask that you would receive me as your child. I ask that you would help me to be born again as a child of God. I receive this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you prayed that, we believe that you have taken the first step and you have stepped into a new life with Christ. Can we give the Lord praise for that? Be sure to let us know if that is the first time you've made that choice. We would love to partner with you, to come alongside you and walk you through that journey. As we close this morning, I would ask, we have a special gift for every teacher, every student in the house. As we close this morning, I would ask for all of those, if you're a teacher, if you're a student, or if you have someone in your family, we have a special gift for you. Would you just come forward and feel here? We can do this spatially distancing. Come on up here. I want to speak a special prayer of blessing over you, and then we're going to give you a gift, and we will be dismissed this morning. As those teachers and others are coming forward at this time, I see some people that are getting their masks on and coming forward. As those teachers are coming forward at this time and the students represented by that, I would just say we didn't take up an offering this morning, your tithes and offerings, but we have the two boxes in the back. Be sure to let God know that you love him by your faithfulness in giving. We appreciate your faithfulness in that. All right, would everyone just extend your hands this way as we speak a blessing? Lord, we thank you that your word says that perfect love casts out all fear. Lord, as we have been in the midst of this time of pandemic where there is so much fear that is going around, people are afraid. They're afraid to make choices. They're afraid to do things. They're afraid to go back to school. Lord, but we know that your power is here to cover us, to protect us. And so I ask that you would just protect each and every teacher. You would protect each and every student. May it be so, oh God, that we would embrace your love. And may it be so that you would speak a hedge of protection over each and every one of these and those who are represented online and elsewhere. We just pray that your protection would be over our churches, over our cities, over our schools, over our teachers, over our students. And we thank you, oh God, that because our faith is in you, we will choose not to have fear. We will not allow fear to control us. We will walk in faith and we will walk in your love. We thank you for this in the precious name of Jesus. If you agree with that, would you say amen? Amen. Amen. God bless you. One last thing. Psalm 27. Write that down. Let that be your homework this week. Psalm 27. I want you to live in Psalm 27. Father, we bless you and thank you for every single person that has been here. We thank you, oh God, that you are going to continue to cover them, protect them, and help us to learn to live in love. Not afraid, not worried, not in fear. We're going to walk in faith. We're going to walk in your love. In the precious name of your Son, Jesus. And everybody said, we also bless those who are giving, and we ask for your prosperity over them in Jesus' name. Thank you for this. Be blessed. Have a great week. We will see you next week. Remember, Monday morning, 7:30 a.m. prayer. Wednesday night, 6:45, prayer and praise. Love you guys. Have a great week.